afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November the 12th. As someone in this room's already pointed out, 11, 12, 13. And if I had thought about it early enough, we probably would have had a promotion circling around that. 315th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director Tony Smithers.
Hello, Brian.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you.
You're wearing fleece. It must be winter outside.
That's right.
I'm wearing long sleeve. It must be winter outside.
You must have the heat turned up in here.
Yeah. Now, when was the last time that phrase was uttered in this room? I don't know. This afternoon, we're talking about winter marketing. What are some of the different things? What are some of the challenges? What are some of the opportunities that our region has about winters? May not have been thinking about it, but we're going to try to stir it up a little bit when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Christopher Morley. Quote, "There's no squabbling so violent as that between people who accepted an idea yesterday and those who will accept the same idea tomorrow."
Oh, yes.
Consistency, Kemosabe.
I know. And I'm always on the side of the person who accepted it yesterday. And
well, you know, you say yes unless something fundamentally changes. Right? Your word is supposed to count for something?
No, it's a matter of being able to see further than the rest.
Oh, I see. You're going to whip that one out, huh? Nah, I only go three onion skins deep. That's about as far.
Otherwise, all right, that'll make my eyes water enough.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Ba-dum-ching.
Wintertime marketing, I would think, is kind of something that's a little bit extraordinary, Tony. Just to get people into a community that doesn't have... And I know you'll take offense at it, but okay, fine. The whiz-bang attraction. It's not the Disneyland. It's not SeaWorld. It's not warm weather. It's not the place you escape to. 9 out of 10 times, we're the kind of place where you would escape from that time of the year to find the heat, to find the sun, to get that kind of, I mean, you know.
No offense taken. I mean, our Disneyland is the Redwoods. We all know that. And people don't think about getting out into the woods during the winter. It's just not in their
well,
habit.
Rainstorms, windstorms, snowstorms, hail, that floods. I mean, you know, it isn't typically conducive to going out stomping around in the woods. So if that is kind of taken out of the equation, and the ocean and the rivers and the lagoons, all the natural stuff are out of the equation, what's left? Is there enough left to do something, or are we just one of those small little areas that seasonal is what seasonal is, and if you catch a little bit of weather early, hooray, and a little bit of weather late, hooray, thank you very much. We got a couple things going on in the neighborhood, and that's about all she wrote.
Well, we can't leave it at that, Brian. I mean, first of all, I think we need to look hard and fast at the outdoors experience. I'm not willing to abandon that entirely in our winter repertoire. There are some very specialized areas where we still can shine in that respect. One, of course, is for bird watching. You know, the bird nuts. We're always one of the leading areas in the country for the Christmas count in terms of the number of species spotted. So, you know, that could be built up with our wonderful attractions and birds up. That's one. I've been on some lovely walks in the woods in the winter. You just got to wear sensible shoes. I mean, it's really all required.
Yeah, but when you think of most folks who are thinking of vacationing during the, let's say, January through March, it's either event-driven. I'm going to see blank. I'm going to, you know, the San Antonio Riverwalk or whatever it might happen to be, Hawaii, something like that. Or it's going to be seasonal driven. I'm going to, you know, Jamaica. I'm going to somewhere that's warm, somewhere that's hot, somewhere that, you know, it's those amenities that are our positives during the summertime rather than going for, okay, I mean, we got the truckers event, you know, something like that in that time frame. You know, well, are there going to be that many people or is this going to be just for the locals? Not to denigrate that, but that's not really going to bring folks to the table.
No, they're not. You know, we have to really think about what has an appeal for the broader world. And we've dabbled a little bit. We have found a few areas where that kind of appeal does exist. And maybe it's a matter mostly of building on those things that we know can work. You know, one being, of course, the Jazz Festival. You know, whatever you want to say about it and however it's evolving, historically, that has drawn a lot of people who follow that circuit. So music festivals in general, let's say, have the ability with their own built-in audiences if you can just figure out what is current right now.
Right, getting the venues that can handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think another one might be sporting types of events. You know, we do have, you know, the Clam Beach Run. I think the Foggy Bottoms Milk Run. That's in the winter. And looking out in the world at large, there's a growing number of you might call them extreme sports, but they're also could be called muddy sports, where you I think they're called mud runs sometimes or paint runs, where everyone gets a white t-shirt and gets pelted with non-toxic paints or whatever. These are the kind of things which, you know, we're kind of ideal for that in our off season. You know, we have the mud; it's here already.
I'm thinking, boy, but could we get permits for that? You know, you know, things like on the beach and things of that nature. Sorry, I don't know if I'm being pragmatic or just being down in the mouth.
There's also lots of private land available too. So,
yeah, right now, hopefully it'll stay that way. What about the traditional fishing? You know, the winter salmon runs.
It's huge.
Is that something to capitalize on? Is that something that you can jump in at? Can you move that market quickly?
Well, what we have found, and we have dabbled in doing the marketing, you know, we've taken it to shows and what have you, that market pretty much fills itself up. There's only so much room on the banks of the Klamath River. We have a pretty limited number of charter boats, et cetera, so the capacity is limited there.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with six treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, wintertime is always challenging because the weather is as weather is.
Unpredictable.
Yeah. We know there's going to be a couple weeks in January that are just cool and clear and perfect. Problem is nobody sends us when that travel window is open. And you got flooding. And okay, flooding is going to be part of it. We don't have the slip outs like we used to, but flooding is certainly part of it, whether it's here or Santa Rosa.
I remember years we've had mudslides on 299 and you know, snow at the
crossing the summits.
Crossing the summits and
that's, you know, I think that's normal stuff. Does that get in the way of necessarily having an event? Of getting people here, or is that just kind of like living, as long as you're focusing regionally, hey, It's happening all over the place. It's no big deal.
Well, it makes marketing over into Shasta County, you know, a little more questionable. You know, because I've spoken to enough people there at trade shows, et cetera, that most people there have a little trepidation about driving here in the best of weather. So, but then,
oh really?
Oh, they do.
Distance or just the perception
windy road,
that it's
the windy road? Yeah.
So the straightening out at Buckhorn
will help. Will help.
Okay.
But let's forget them for the time being. We just have to look south, and we have a huge market. You know, there's more people we can possibly deal with. So I don't think weather is generally something that we have to worry about in that respect. If we can find events and attractions that are weatherproof, you know, indoors, sit down with a roof.
What about theater? I know it seems like we have a lot of theater. I know it's a little bit less than what it used to be. Is theater one of the long suits that we have around here?
Well, you'd think it would be with all the great repertory and Del Arte and what have you.
Yeah, we have, four majors,
mm-hmm.
four or five majors. Would that be something that could be coordinated enough to make an event or a week or
a festival,
month or
as it were.
Something or another? Mm-hmm. Yeah, along those lines.
Well, I'd push for that.
That one?
I'd push for that if the theater folks were game for it. And, you know, what easier to do than package a theater ticket or tickets with a hotel room, and with dining, it's just a natural.
Do they tend to be cats, and trying to herd them?
I haven't tried to do them. You know, that kind of herding. Individually, they're all great to work with. So,
I wonder if something along those lines, because that really, I mean, we're not obviously like Ashland. I think everybody in the area will think about the Shakespearean Festival.
I'm thinking more like Edinburgh's Fringe Festival.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit different, particularly if you got a couple bucks. Maybe you can buy some of the plays that people recognize. So it would be kind of a fun thing instead of one of those, hey, let's see what this one is like, and try to do something. If the Jazz Festival is there, I would think you could do something similar, a 4 or 5 day event in one of those weeks.
Ferndale Rep, North Coast Rep, Del Arte, you know, you got it.
Yeah, everybody do a couple productions a day kind of thing.
Yeah. Redwood Curtain.
Of course, they are dealing with volunteers, aren't they? So that might be a little bit more difficult, you know, get time off and that kind of stuff. But
well, let's look into that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, what I wrote down, theater, I wrote down beer, and I wrote down food.
All right. Well, beer is turning out to be a very strong suit for us. Chronicle piece that got published 5 or 6 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
with our five local breweries each paired with a hike, was, you know, a stroke of genius by our office, I'll say,
people started hiking.
They are, you know,
okay.
hiking and drinking is a good combination.
Yeah, just stay away from the edge.
Right.
So there is some play coming off of that.
There is, and you know, and there is a local entrepreneur now who's putting together a beer tour, who actually will do the chaperone driving experience.
Shuttle, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Shuffle. So I think it's more of a shuffle.
Okay.
A shamble.
There you go. So is the beer enough for somebody to come here for?
If that's your bag, if you are the beer aficionado, then absolutely. Again, we'll figure out how to package it and market it.
So, like, start at Ukiah and end up with, I guess,
Sierra Nevada, too. Some of the bigger markets, like we go after bus tours and what have you, we're already working with our neighboring, you know, destinations to package their breweries with our breweries. Because, you know, if you're coming from Kentucky, you want to see a little more of Northern California than just Humboldt.
Yeah, or just the inside of a beer room.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, so you got Sierra Nevada, certainly.
Yeah, and there's another new one in Redding, which we have included as well. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, and you've got Daryl at Cave Junction. Yeah, so there may be some kind of a loop. You probably hit 10 or 12.
You could.
What are they looking? Is that a weekend? What kind of a time?
12 breweries in a weekend?
Well, there's a lot of driving in between. So, you know, do they spend a couple of hours at each location and sample a bunch of them, or is it more of a 4 or 5 hour event? And
well, I think that Chronicle article was like an ideal product design for Humboldt County. If we can, you know, pair each, here we go, food pairing. If we can pair each brewery with a local activity, you know, it doesn't have to be hiking. It can be a museum. It can be a show. It can be anything. Then we become stickier. We can, you know, we can be a 2 or 3 day experience just in our county.
And that's the goal, is to bring it out enough so it's viable for somebody to come here.
Right. Our general approach has been, if we are talking, you know, an international market or an East Coast market, we know we need to partner with our neighbors in order to, you know, be a viable product. But if we're going after San Francisco drive
Bay
market,
Area, hey, come on, guys.
And it's, yeah. Chacun pour soi, every man for himself.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, the concept of indoor versus outdoor, can they both coexist simultaneously as you're trying to market during the true off-season? I mean, the fishing certainly is something that is unique to our area, very seasonal. You know, the winter runs of the salmon, late fall steelhead runs. I mean, you can't make that one up. Education, just hey guys, we got it, boom, you
right.
Shoot out your press
biting,
releases
get out here.
yeah fish, but on I believe is the phrase,
right?
Okay, that's more kind of seizing the opportunity that's there. These other
carpe
things,
carp, something like that,
yeah. Carp diem, baby. The other ones are you can schedule, so can you have two distinct different marketing messages that might be simultaneous, might be during the same 2 or 3 month window, not become confusing, and still bring it in on an ROI basis?
Well, sure, because we, you know, you split your media to a T. You know, we you can advertise your one message into the right folks and your other message to the others. But interesting that we in the past we've toyed with sort of a crossover between the two, because sometimes there's the idea of the fishing widow. Whereas, you know,
yeah, I think the NFL widow was probably the prime one in retail. Yeah,
you know, what's I don't want to, you know, stereotype and be sexist.
Okay,
but,
widower.
Yeah. You know, what is the uninterested spouse going to do while the interested spouse is out getting wet and cold and catching fish? And so
I think it's called girls' night out.
Could be,
so to speak, or guys' night out kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So that, you know, those two are definitely ideas, you know, could definitely mesh. And, you know, if it's still off-season, we're talking, so capacity is not a problem.
Food festivals and things like that, I know, are very apt to occur in communities during the summertime. Blueberry festivals, cranberry festivals.
Right, up through harvest time.
Boom, 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 yeah. Real harvest time. Knock it off, people. Outside of that window, though, you don't see a lot. Clam chowder festivals. Okay, fine. New England, there's a little bit of that. I know the Oregon coast has got some of their stuff. Why doesn't that stuff happen during wintertime? Is it just one of those, never thought about it? Or,
well, it does. It does happen. You know, Mendocino County has got their crab and mushroom festival. You know, because obviously in all these wet woods in the winter.
Yeah, there's a little bit of fungi.
There's some fungi among guy. Yeah. And they have the countywide promotion. And, you know, so they bundle that with the crab. And they've been doing that for some years now, quite successfully.
So there is opportunity. We just have not considered it?
There are people working on it. There are people working on it.
Something similar along those lines.
Yeah.
only one festival or a series of? See, I don't know if I have had it beaten into my head or if this was just a revelation myself, but there's an extraordinarily high percentage of restaurants per capita in our area.
I know, wonderful, isn't it?
Well, I can't figure out how the ROI is there. How does anybody keep the doors open if they're... I mean, you're still only going to have so many people eat out every night. Okay, set that one aside for the moment. But there's an awful lot of restaurants around here. Why we haven't become more of a mecca, or there aren't food festivals or food competitions, or that we're as well-renowned as San Francisco is for food, that stuff. Is it because in our area we tend to have more of the independent-minded restaurateur operators, or the geographic spread of going from, let's say, a Trinidad
to Benbow Inn?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a for us such a long distance that you really can't develop that real strong synergy that other communities have that might be a little bit closer.
Yeah, I would say that it is a critical mass issue in that respect. Also, in terms of having, you know, a huge market. I mean, yes, there's a lot of restaurants here, but there's 140,000 people in the county, and I, for one, don't eat out much. There must be others like me. So, yeah, you know, that's the limiting factor. But
so something like that, we would have to go outside of the market?
That's the idea. Let's import our customers for that, and then they'll stay in our hotels.
So there is space for that. Is there talent to bring something like that together?
Well, I'm sure every restaurant chef who's listening is going to say, how dare you ask such a question? Yes.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm safely protected behind the double pane glass. Do you think we have the talent here to pull something like that?
Absolutely. If you've been out to the Oyster Festival and seen all the wonderful creations on offer, and, you know, there's just some amazing talent up here. And, you know, we have some restaurants that I could stand proudly against the best that San Francisco has to offer.
So why hasn't something like that already started?
I don't know.
Now all the chefs are very much on my side, and they're wondering.
Well, I don't know. But if it is started, I will promote it.
I see. KINS, News and Information Times 342. He'll get his chefs, I'll get mine, and we'll see what happens when we come back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, if somebody has an idea about either a theme or coordination, or maybe wanting to do or explore some of the potential stuff. I know you got a pound of money sitting around.
I don't.
Well, you represent the gang that does. But how do they know if their idea is viable? Viable to promote, viable to attempt, viable to spend the effort to put together. Is there a sounding board? Just, hey, I got an idea. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Is this something that has it been tried in the past and didn't work? I mean, that kind of almost an advisory thing. Is that something that you or somebody inside the building would be inclined to spend 5 minutes with, or somebody shoot an email to?
I absolutely would talk to anybody who had an idea that would help increase tourism, heads and beds. There is an application for the Humboldt Lodging Alliance, who has a funding source for local projects that will bring people in for overnight stays. And that application actually can be found on their website, which is humboldtlodging.com. But some of the questions that are on that are just what you said. Has this been tried somewhere before? Who else is involved? You know, what else have you done? Who else is on board with this? You know, those are the things.
I would think if Tony's got a great idea, I would think somebody would want to support and help to coddle and get that thing to that proposal stage.
Yes, that's kind of my job.
If it's nah, I think you would be as equally motivated to say, no, don't spend your time on that one. Or if you do, at least understand, here's some of the thoughts, the immediate thoughts that I have that bring into question whether or not that would be something that would be viable.
Sure. Well, and really, the only sniff test is it going to bring in people for overnight stays? That's really the only criteria.
So but you said that some of the questions are, has this been done before? How would anybody know if it's been done before?
Google it.
If something was done 10 or 15 years ago, it would pop up on that?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a lot of events happening in this country, so I think there's good models
in this
out
area,
there.
Though.
Yeah.
That didn't work in the past. I can think of a couple of choice ones. I won't bore everybody into tears. Things that have been done, for one reason or another, weren't successful. We don't seem to do a very good job in autopsying bad promotions. We try to put those underneath the rug and move on. So how would somebody find that without spending a huge amount of hours?
Again, call our office, and we might have some information there. Also, your chambers of commerce have some good institutional memory about what's been going on around there.
Okay, so look for old people. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, right.
Is knocking off another promotion in another market something that would be embraced? Does it have to be unique, or can it be somebody did a clam bake on the East Coast, do a clam bake or an oyster bake here?
Well, let's flatter them sincerely.
I see. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. And again, you're looking for something. If you gave the date range, when would that range be?
Well, essentially Labor Day to Memorial Day. That's the off. Even into June, actually, it's not necessarily high season, but clearly the place where the most effort needs to be done, where the most empty beds are. Yeah, are essentially the dead of winter. January, February, March, right in there.
You don't really want to say dead, do you? With all the news the way that it's been lately? Nah. In the heart.
Yes.
In the heart of winter.
Okay. In the heart of our darkness.
There you go. And give you a buzz or go on the website and be able to spend a couple minutes with you.
The Bureau's website is redwoods.info. Everyone can remember that. Or call the Bureau, 443-5097.
Phone call works.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Might even pick up.
I won't pick up, but but if you're patient and get through the phone tree, you can get to me.
There you go. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
We've been Talking Shop with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.